prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come before Thee this morning. We come, O God, to worship Thee. We ask, O God, for help, therefore, to worship Thee aright. Come and be one of our number. We pray, Lord, that this day we might know that Thy presence is amongst us. May we hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us today. Hear and answer prayer for us. Continue, Lord, with us, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of hymn number 752. 752, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. After we sing this hymn together, I ask you please just to stand, remain standing if you can, just for a moment's silence. I know we have our main remembrance service this evening, but as a part of our morning service, we'll stand after we have this opening hymn and remain standing for a minute's silence, please. But we'll sing this hymn first of all, O God, our help in ages past.
Our shelter from
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. The going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Our eternal God and our Father, on this Remembrance Sunday, we come, O God, to thank Thee for those who gave their lives in conflicts in years gone by, that we might have the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy today. We thank Thee, Lord, today for those who went at the call of duty. Lord, for those who gave their lives in sacrifice of our freedoms in our land. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might ever cherish the freedoms that are ours today. And O God, we pray that on this Remembrance Sunday, Lord, when hearts, Lord, are heavy, and Lord, thoughts go back to those, Lord, no longer with us, we pray, Lord, that You would draw near, comfort and encourage, we pray. O God, we thank Thee today for the one who gave His life, who paid the ultimate sacrifice. We thank Thee, O God, today for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died that we might live, the one who gave His life that we might have eternal life. And our Father, we pray that today eyes and hearts might be lifted to Him today. And Father, we pray that You'll bless our coming together in the house of the Lord this morning. We pray, Lord, that You'll do our hearts good as we meet around the Word of God. And Lord, that this day we might, Lord, have cause to rejoice in all that the Lord has done for us. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us today. We pray, Lord, You'll remember those who are unwell. Touch them in their body. Strengthen them. Oh God, that very soon we'll see them back in the house of the Lord. But Lord, for those who have been able to gather in God's house this morning, come with us, we pray. Lord, help us, aid us. We ask, oh God, that around the Word of God, that our hearts will be challenged and our hearts will be encouraged. So be with us. Continue with us now in this service of worship. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. If you have a copy of the Word of God this morning, can I ask you please to turn with me in the Scriptures to 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8, please. Just a short scripture reading this morning. First six verses of this chapter. 2 Kings chapter 8. Let's hear the word of the Lord today and hear what the Lord would say to us through His word. 2 Kings chapter 8. Then spake Elisha unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king now, he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for a house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she had left the land, even until now. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His word to all of our hearts. Let me welcome you all along this morning to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord today. To those who are visiting with us, we welcome you as well. Also to those who are watching with us online, we welcome you as part of our congregation this morning. On behalf of our session and our committee and congregation, we want to express our sincerest Christian sympathies to our dear sister, Mrs. Celia Roberts, the death of an uncle during the week, and also to Paul and Stephen Roberts as well, and Paul and their families on the loss of an uncle as well just a short time ago. And to you all, we assure of your prayers and pray the Lord will draw very near at this time of loss. This is the second Lord's Day of the month, so it's the Missionary Council retiring offering. Please do remember that after both services, the box there in the hallway as you leave. Then we have our Sunday school in Redburn this afternoon, 2:30. We come back here this evening for our special remembrance service, always a highlight in the church calendar. We're looking forward to others joining with us tonight as well for our remembrance service. And I trust that you'll join with us, be able to come and join with us tonight, 6:30. Why not bring someone along with you as well to the special remembrance service and Wreath Lane ceremony? We're back to our full quota. Thankfully, with all the restrictions now lifted, we can get back to the way we used to do things. And that will be the case tonight at 6:30. So please do remember that. Can I ask those who are taking part in laying wreaths, those in our own church and others as well, if you could be here at the church for 6:15, no later than 6:00 tonight, please. Also, there will be seats reserved for those who are taking part tonight, so the first few rows at the front here will be reserved, so please do bear that in mind. Our brother Jonathan Logan will be here to sing tonight as well, and there'll be supper afterwards for everybody. So I trust that you'll make every effort to join with us for that special service tonight at 6:30. Then on Tuesday night at 6:30, we have the Explorers Bible Club. That's followed by the Bible study prayer meeting back to its normal day of Tuesday at 8:00. And this Tuesday we'll also meet around the Lord's table after the meeting on Tuesday night. Next Sunday, services commence with our Sunday School Bible class, 10:15, 11:30, a morning worship, the Sunday School in Redburn, 2:30, and our gospel service next Sunday night at 6:30. And our sister, Mrs. Joy Boyd, will be along to sing next Sunday night, God willing. The total that was brought in for Every Home Crusade has now reached £850. And again, we want to thank you for your giving to the work of Every Home Crusade and Revival Movement Association, and thank you for your generous giving. Do continue to remember all in the congregation who are unwell, remember those who are in hospital, remember Sister Molly, Kyle especially. Pray that the Lord will continue to draw very near to her. I also ask you please to remember our brother William Crane goes into hospital tomorrow, and please do remember William in your prayers. Saturday the 3rd of December, that's our Seniors Fellowship lunch. Do remember that, please. And then also that night, Saturday the 3rd of December, is the men's night out. And if you haven't already spoken to John, please do that as soon as possible. The offering boxes are available as you leave, and do remember that as well for your tithes and for your offerings. Do remember our shoebox appeal. There's only 2 more weeks left before we need all of these shoeboxes in. We need them in before the end of December. So I know people have been busy getting the shoeboxes and getting them filled. Thank you for that. But we need them in the next 2 weeks, please. If you can attend to that, that would certainly be appreciated. Let's sing another hymn, please, at this stage. It's the hymn number 306. Hymn number 306, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. 306, we'll stand together as we sing, please.
Oh,
Kings chapter 8, as we continue our studies in the life of Elisha. I want us this morning to look at the subject of knowing and doing the will of God. What is God's will? How can we know it? And then how can we do the will of God? But before we come to God's word, let's seek his help, please, in prayer this morning. Let's pray that the Lord will speak to us through the word this morning. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank thee today for the living word of God. We thank thee, Lord, this morning that we have thy truth, that we have thy word. Lord, we're not, Lord, left to wander in this world, Lord, on our own, to go through the darkness and not knowing where to go. We thank thee, Lord, today that thy word is that lamp and that light. And Heavenly Father, we pray that it will be so even to our hearts this morning. Lord, as we come to the word of God, as we consider thy truth this morning, we pray, Lord, that you will be pleased to speak to all of our hearts. Lord, make this a living word. Make it a word, Lord, to live in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we might not only hear that word, but Lord, help us as well to live by the word of God as well. So be with us, we pray. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. How often is it in life that we come to particular times we have to make a decision that will not only affect us personally, but perhaps affect our families and affect those around us. In fact, more often than we probably think, we make decisions all the time. We make decisions about our lives, about our futures. And yet for the child of God, as we come to make any decision, it should always be made in light of what the Lord would want us to do and the way that the Lord would want us to go. Because you see, the Lord, as we live our Christian lives, doesn't leave us to our own devices. We should never make decisions based on our own thoughts or our own feelings. We should be guided all the time by the Word of God and in the will of God. It's absolutely necessary for a believer to be guided and to be directed by a wisdom that is higher than our own. Because it can be easy to make decisions based on our own feelings, based on a leading that we think is right, based on a matter that we feel is the right path to take. And yet if we leave the will of God out of it, then we are sure to go the wrong way. To run on ahead of God in a particular situation, to make a decision without searching the will of God about that decision, is spiritual disaster. To live outside the will of God is never a place that the child of God should ever want to be in. And something else we should always be careful of, and that is never using the guise of the will of God to cover up our own will and our own wants and our own desires. I've listened and I've heard too many people tell me about decisions they are making, big decisions that are affecting them. And yet they've left the will of God out of it. And it has been a spiritual disaster for them. Just because it seems that things are right and things are falling into place as far as you're concerned doesn't necessarily follow that's the will of God for your life. You see, if time hasn't been taken to find God's will in prayer and in scripture reading, then you cannot and you dare not say that it is God's will. And all the time it's your own will, making decisions based on what you think and on what you feel is best. As we come to our study, our next study here in the life of Elisha, we come across a situation where the Lord is guiding in this lady's life. The lady in view is the Shunammite woman. We find that in verse number 1. The one said unto the woman whose son he had restored to life. And the Lord has clear, direct guidance to give to her about the way she should go and the path she should take. And as we'll see this morning, this woman followed the will of God. She knew the will of God and she did the will of God. And as a result, she enjoyed the blessings of being in the will of God. You see, it is possible, and in fact it is essential, for everyone who names the name of Christ to know what God wants me to do in every situation and in every decision that we're called to make. The words of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 must always be kept before us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that's what's happening here in these first six verses of 2 Kings chapter 8. First thing I want you to see here is the revelation that was given. In verse number 1, we see how that the Lord revealed his will for this woman's life through Elisha. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life. Now, remember again, Elisha is God's spokesman at that time in the nation. He was a prophet. And Elisha was the channel that God used to reveal his will and his word for this lady's life. Now, before we go any further, it's important to point out there are no prophets today. There are no prophets today. There are those today who will tell us that they're a prophet, that they've received further revelation, new revelation from God. There are no prophets today. There is no new revelation today from God. Why? Why? Because God has given us his revealed word today. That wasn't the case in Elisha's day. The canon of Scripture was not complete. We have today the full canon of Scripture. That's God's word to you today. What God has to say to you, to me, he'll say to us through his word. There's no new revelation. God reveals himself and reveals his will through his word. But in Elisha's day, the generation that he preached in, they did not have the full word of God. That's why God chose men and used men such as Elisha and Elijah before him. My point is that today, God will reveal his will to us through his word, not through other people. And if anybody comes to you today and says that I have a word from God for you, you run a mile from them, because they're not from God, they're from the pit. Yet while the channel of revelation for us today is the word of God, yet the contents and the manner of God's revelation concerning his will for his people is the same. Let's notice some things about this revelation that this woman received. Notice it was personal. Then spake Elisha unto the woman. We've already pointed out this was the Shunammite woman, that lady who showed great kindness and hospitality to Elisha. That lady then, whose son was dying, this was a godly woman. This was a good woman. This was a woman of faith, a woman who walked in the will of God and walked according to the way of God. Therefore, to receive this revelation from God would not have been something new for her. She wasn't some sort of carnal Christian. She wasn't a backslider. She wasn't out of touch with the Lord. She was in fellowship with the Lord. And so this revelation would have been something she was expecting. But the point is that she was guided personally. She was guided individually. And folks, that's how the Lord guides us today. He guides us personally. He directs us individually. He reveals his will to us personally. You will know this, but sometimes we can forget it. That God has a plan for your life. Every single one of his people, he has a plan and a purpose for. We can sometimes fall into the trap that God's plan, God's purpose is only for missionaries or those who go into full-time service. God has a plan and a purpose for your life individually and personally. And always remember that while the distinct and the specific plans will be different from somebody else, yet He always guides us and always desires to guide us in His way and in His will. And as the Lord directs us and as the Lord guides us, remember this. He will never guide you or direct you away from Himself. The plans and the paths that God has for us as a people are plans that bring us closer to God, that do not drive us away from God. And listen, anything that drives us away from God are not the will, are not the plans of God for our life. His will never leaves us to leave off from following God. And for those who are wandering from God today and away from God today, I have to say to you, you're not in the will of God. You're not in the place God wants you to be. As concerning the exact details of His will, He will guide us personally into a closer walk and fellowship with Him. Psalm 32 in verse 8, it says, I will instruct the personal individual. And teach the personal individual in the way which thou personally, individually shall go. I will guide thee personally, individually with mine eye. God has a plan for you. We read in Isaiah 58 in the verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually. It's not just enough to know the will of God for our life at this particular time, but to constantly search out and look out the will of God for us. It's personal. But this revelation was not only personal. I want you to see back in verse 1, it was also particular. Look at verse 1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored unto life, saying, Arise and go, thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. This was very particular. Arise and go thou and thine household. This was particular instruction. She received very specific direction. You see, the Lord always makes His way clear. The Lord always makes His will clear. And folks, if there's ever a doubt in your mind about doing something, I would say don't do it. Because the Lord never leaves us in any doubt concerning His will. Wait until that time that the Lord makes His will clear. And if He doesn't make His will clear, then don't do it. Because the Lord is always very particular and very specific in His guiding and His directing of His people. Dr. Ted Randall, in his commentary on the life of Elisha, details how God makes His particular will clear. He says, first of all, it's generally by His word. We come back to that point we already made. The word of God shows us the steps that we are to take. He leads us generally by His word. But Dr. Randall goes on to say that He also leads us definitely by His Spirit. His Spirit will always guide in relation to His word. And listen, folks, God will never lead you or guide you contrary to His word. Nor will His Spirit lead you or guide you into something against His word. If you're being guided and being led into things that you know to be wrong and things that will take you away from God, it's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. He also says that we can be guided generally by His Word, definitely by His Spirit, and immediately by others. This woman was guided by Elisha, a godly man, a good man. Can I just say on a practical note as well there, never seek out guidance from a man who's out of step with God. Never seek guidance or direction from another believer whose life is out of fellowship with the Lord. But also He guides providentially by circumstances. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. And the Lord guides and directs all our steps. Before I leave this point, let me say that it is never right or never a good thing as we seek the will of God and seek to live by God that we force God's will. That we try to arrange the will of God for our lives. We can, and we're all guilty of it, myself included, of wanting to rush and wanting to hurry. But we should never force the will of God. We should just allow our lives to be guided by the Word of God, in the will of God, and in His time. Don't manufacture His will. And if you do, don't do dishonor to God and say this is the will of God when it's anything but the will of God. As we consider this revelation, we see it was personal, we see it was particular, but we see as well it was partial. Arise and go thou in thine household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. There was a famine coming, was ordered by the Lord. We've looked at that in the past, the judgment of God. It's going to last for 7 years, but there was no direction after the 7 years. The Lord didn't say, well, after the 7 years, then do this and do that. In fact, there was no real explanation for this direction that the Lord was giving, just an instruction. You see, this woman was learning the words of Solomon. Because Solomon writes, the wise man writes in Proverbs 4:12, as thou goest step by step, the way shall open up before thee. As thou goest step by step, the way shall open up before thee. The Lord guides us step by step, day by day. He doesn't give us one blueprint for the rest of our lives. He doesn't give us all of His will for our lives at one time and then just leaves us to follow His roadmap. No, He guides us step by step. He reveals His will partially to us. Not because He doesn't know what the rest of our lives hold, because of course He knows. He knows because He's planned it. But He knows that if He were to reveal the rest of our lives to each one of us, we probably would never leave the house. Step by step, day by day, the Lord guides us. And as we do His will, we learn the will of God. The revelation that was given, it was personal, it was particular, it was partial. But I want you to see not only the revelation that was given, but notice now the response that was shown. The response that was shown. Look at verse 2. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Notice the response here to the will of God, to the word of God in this lady's life. In this response, notice first of all, it was prompt. She arose. She didn't delay. Now remember, there wasn't a famine at this time in the land. It was coming. But she didn't wait for the famine to come. She arose immediately. She did the will of God promptly. And she followed after the Lord. She realized that this was the will of God. This was what God wanted her to do, and she did it. She realized this was not just some sort of friendly advice. This was divine direction. A.W. Pink says that she looked above the prophet to his master and accepted the counsel from him. Thus she acted in faith, which was in entire accordance with what was previously recorded of her. She saw this was a word from Elisha, but ultimately this was a word from God. Therefore, she must do it promptly. The king's business requireth haste. And she did it all without murmuring or complaining. She obeyed the will of God entirely and submissively. There was no buts, no ifs, no maybes. She acknowledged the reality of Romans 12 and 2, that the will of God was good, acceptable, was perfect. And folks, the will of God is just that. It is good because He works all things together for our good. It is acceptable because He has planned all things. He who knows all things. He who has only our best interests at heart. And it is perfect. God's will is perfect. There are no flaws in the will of God. My Father's way, the hymn writer says, may twist and turn. And my heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know He maketh no mistake. The Lord was making no mistakes here. And the Lord makes no mistakes in our lives either. In this response, it was prompt. But I want you to see it was pricey. It was pricey. You see, it cost this woman to obey the will of God. It cost her. It meant separation from her homeland, from her friends. She's moving out of her comfort zone. Where did she move to? The land of the Philistines. It would seem a very strange place. The lifelong enemies of the people of God. Did she make a mistake? No. She was prudent. She was wise because the land of Philistia was a fruitful land. And there she would have had more than enough to meet her need. And even in that dark and sinful place, she could have lived her life a witness for the Lord. But it cost her. It cost her. She could just have said, well, I'm just staying here. I'm just staying here with friends, with those that I know, where I'm comfortable, and whatever happens, happens. There are times when God tells us to stay, folks, yes. But there are also times when God tells us to go. It cost her to follow the Lord. David said, I will not offer burnt offerings unto the Lord of that which costs me nothing. There was a price to pay. And she was willing to pay that price. Young girl was sent by her parents to a leading private school in America. And while she was at that school, she was asked to go to a gospel meeting one night, and she went, and at that meeting she got saved. And she decided that from that moment onward, she was going to give her life entirely to the Lord. She wanted to be a missionary. And she wrote home to her father and told him of her decision. And said that I've got saved and I want to give my life to the Lord and I want to go as a missionary. I don't know where, but I believe the Lord is leading me in that way. The father received his daughter's letter and wrote back in a fit of rage and told her, get on the next train and come home. And when that girl came home and met her father, the father said, I didn't send you to school to get religion. That's all right for the poor folks and for the half-wits, but not for a girl like you. He said, if by tomorrow morning you have not decided to give up this foolish notion of religion and being a missionary, then you pack your suitcase and you leave this home. That girl went to her room that night with a very heavy heart. She knew that if she were to go through with the will of God for her life, she would have lost everything. Lost the wealth, the culture, the love, the prestige that she had. And that night she fought it out and struggled with the will of God. The next morning she had packed her suitcase. Before leaving, she went over to the piano. And she started playing. And she started singing. And she started to sing, Jesus, I my cross have taken. All to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken. Thou from hence my all must be. Jesus, I my cross have taken. She stepped away from the piano. With tears in her eyes, she knew that when she would step out of her home that day, that would be it. Because her father had no time for the decision that she made. But before she left home that day, her father came. He said, I listened to you play. And I listened to you sing. He said, I didn't realize that the Lord Jesus Christ can mean so much to someone that you're willing to leave home and family. He said, forgive me. Forgive me, I must be mad. Because if such a great love can take a hold of your heart, I trust it will take a hold of my heart as well. And that day, the father gave his life to the Lord. That little girl was willing to leave it all behind. Willing to leave it all behind. You see, folks, if Christ is worth anything, he's worth everything. He's worth everything. The response of this lady was prompt. It was pricey. It costs to follow the Lord. It costs her time. Costs her talents. Costs to follow the Lord. But thirdly and finally, as we close, I want you to see not only the revelation that was given and the response that was shown, I want you to see now the reward that was given. For 7 years, 7 years, this lady waited patiently in the Lord. She didn't know what was going to happen after the 7 years, but she waited. Look at verse 3. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. Thank God everything comes to pass. In the perfect will and plan of God. Her time of proving and waiting the Lord now was over. Must have seemed perhaps a very long 7 years. She waited. We see her discernment. She knew it was time to move on. She returned, verse 3, out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. She knew it was time for her to move on. After the 7 years of where she was, she said, now is time to go back. We see her discernment, but we see her discovery. Because when we read from verse 3 down to verse 6, we realize that this woman, when she returned home, discovered that she had lost all of her possessions. She had lost her home. It had been taken over. It seemed that she had lost everything. The verse, end of verse 3, she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. She had lost it. She had obeyed the will of God, yet she lost everything. How could this be? It seemed now that the will of God was a disappointment. Her obedience to the will of God was a disappointment. She had lost everything by following the will of God. Just didn't make any sense. The providence of God had dealt her a very hard blow. And in the cold light of day, folks, from a human, rational point of view, the will of God, the providence of God, often makes no sense at all. And the old devil will come and whisper in her ear and say, that's what you get for serving the Lord. That's what you get for obeying the Lord. Oh, just trial and disappointment. And oftentimes we find ourselves crying on to the king, crying on to the Lord. Why? Why? Lord, I've followed you. Lord, I've done this for you. Lord, I've obeyed your will, but why? Why has this happened? There's nothing wrong with asking why. The Lord himself on the cross asked that question of his Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He heard no answer from the Father, of course, remember. We may never understand the ways or the will of God, the dark providence of life that are beyond us, yet every step we take, we must know that there's a Father who loves us. There's a one who will never leave us. And one, as we heard on Thursday night past, who will always be with us. Verse 3, we read that she went to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And yet, as we read on down from verses 4 and 5, and even into 6, we begin to realize the king knew all about her situation anyway. The king knew all that she had gone through. As she went to cry unto the king for help, the king already knew, because Gehazi, as we read in verse 4, Elisha's servant, had gone on before to tell the king. And in verse 5, we have this wonderful arrangement of the providence of God as he is telling the king. He says, well, here's this lady. Here's the one I'm talking about. The king already knew, even before the woman came to cry and ask for help. We read in Isaiah 65 in the verse 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The Lord already knows the situation you're in. Yes, of course, we come and we cry unto him for help and for strength, but we're not coming to tell him something he doesn't already know. He already knew about this woman. Oh, no, he was going to meet the need of this woman. We see her delight, verse 6. Everything was made up to her. At the end of the verse, it says that the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left, even until now. She was going to be more than made up. You see, she didn't serve the Lord in vain. She didn't do the will of God for nothing. It was not a vain thing for her to endure the separation and the loss. The Lord was going to reward her. It took years, but it happened. And folks, never misunderstand the times of waiting to be times when we think God maybe has forsaken us or God has forgotten us. And as you live through difficult times and hard times, remember, God has not forgotten you. God has not forsaken you. When it seems that His will is against you, remember that God is for you. You never serve the Lord in vain. You never wait upon the Lord in vain. Your faith, while at times it'll be hard and while it'll be challenging, it's never in vain. The Lord will reward you. God is no man's debtor. The God that saith in secret shall reward thee openly. She had everything and more. Interest was added onto it as well. All restored to her. Took time. But it took place. Because you see, the Lord was working and arranging all these events over those 7 years. During that time of waiting. Dear child of God, today it may seem that events are working against us. But remember, we have a Father who loves us and who works all things together for our good. How do I know? Because He sent His Son, His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Why? To save you and me from sin. How do I know He loves me? How do I know that He'll not forsake me in the dark times and the difficult times? Because on the cross, He forsook His Son for me and you. We might never see the workings of God's providences at the time. But afterwards, we can look back and say, in the words of Anne Cousins, that hymn that was written in the life of Samuel Rutherford, be able to say, I bless the hand that guided. And I'll bless the heart that planned, where glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. We may not understand it down here, but one day all things will be made perfect. The story is told of the first Queen Elizabeth, that she once asked a rich merchant to go to a remote country in her realm on a mission for her and to represent the nation. The man says, Your Majesty, I couldn't possibly do that because if I were to go there, it would mean the ruination of my business. If I were to be away for that length of time, my business would be ruined. The Queen replied to the man and said, You look after my business abroad, and I'll look after your business at home. We concern ourselves with the master's business, the king's business. We seek His will first. We do His will. He'll look after us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things then shall be added unto you. That man came home from that trip and realized that the Queen's word was true. He had as much wealth and more as he had than when he left. Doing the will of God is not just an optional extra. It's an absolute necessity. We can know God's will. We must know God's will. And knowing it, then we must obey it. Because His ways are always the best ways. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer.